This is Mike Bartolomeo, pastor of Church for the Harvest in Alexandria, Minnesota. The Bible is the Word of God. Within its pages are revealed God's perfect will and plan for mankind, the answers to life's hardest questions, and instructions on how to live a victorious Christian life. I believe the following message can change your life if you will let it. Join us now as we share the Word of God today.
Father, I humble myself today. I thank you for every person that is here that got up and decided to follow you and to hear of you and to worship you. Bless them today, I pray, Father God. And Lord, I ask that you speak through me and give to your people what they need to hear today in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So just a quick announcement here. On the banquet, there's going to be a setup time this Friday from 1 to 3. I forgot to mention this. And I have about 8 or 10 tickets left. And so if you would like to come, a lady, to be a part of that, I have tickets for you, and you're able to make that time slot. If we had 6 or 8 ladies, it won't even take much time at all, because we'll be at the VFW, the one with the big tank out front just past Burger King. And so see me at the end of the service. I have tickets for you, and if you're able to help with the setup and be a part of the banquet. Amen. Well, I'm continuing in our series here. This is the fourth week, and I want to talk to you, Harvest Core Values, Jesus and His Church. Jesus and His Church. And we said this kind of focused on in the last few weeks, Ephesians 2:19, our motto is You Belong. And it's talking about that we belong in God's household. We live in a day and a time where the world is growing increasingly hostile to the things of God, especially the Christian faith. Have you seen that? And it really, it's becoming really real obvious how we know that the enemy is at work and trying to destroy families and people and local churches. And he doesn't want to see people come in to the God-given gift that God has placed in each and every person. And so this verse here speaks, as Paul writes to the church of Ephesians, he said, now you're no longer strangers to God, foreigners to heaven, but you are members, somebody shall members, members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong. Somebody shout, you belong. And so what does that mean? That we belong in God's household. That's not something that man has written. He penned under the inspiration of the Spirit. But this is what God is saying to us. We belong in His household with who? Every other Christian. So there's something about the local church that God has established that I want to talk to you today about. Very quickly here, I'm going to quickly recap because I've been told my recaps are too long, so you need to get the teaching. So I'm going to do a real quick recap from last week. Predictors of spiritual growth, we said this, that how many intimate Christian friends do you have at any given moment? These are some surveys that were done in Barna Research and a Gallup poll. How many Christian friends that you have, they're close with, that can help you along your way? And do you have ownership in a weekly ministry that charges you up? If the answer is no to both of these, you belong in God's household. Now you say, well, I am in God's household, and nobody seems to be reaching out to me. How many of you know that the Bible says if you want friends, you need to be? I'm going to say that again over on this side. If you want friends, you need to be? 4 more people chimed in. That means we need to step out, need to reach out. Well, I'm reserved, I'm quiet, I'm shy. That's okay. There's other shy people here too. And you can meet the shy people and befriend the shy people. Amen? What am I trying to say? We need to break out of our shell. Amen? We're around the family of God. We're around people of God. And God is, you know, this community is a growing community. It really is. People are coming into this community, and God is bringing more and more people in, and they're looking for places where they can connect into a local church. According to a group Gallup study done back in 2004, it says people who attend churches without deep friendships and ministry involvement opportunities tended to express a much higher dissatisfaction in both their church in their relationship with God. So that is something that's identifiable. And people that are frustrated, they're not involved. They don't have close Christian friends and they're not involved in something that charges them up, it's okay that you listen to your podcast and then you have your Bible study and you pray. Those are important, but we need each other. Amen? We need each other. That's what God is saying. So we need friends that'll charge us up, that'll love, that'll pray, that'll cry, and at times lovingly confront us in the areas that we need direction. You know, I have certain men in my life, and I may share something, and they may share something back that kind of goes against what I was thinking, and I thought, you know what, maybe there's some truth here. Maybe I need to change. Amen, men? We need to change. And so we allow the Spirit of God to do that when we're pliable. And so that's the church. That's part of the purpose of the church. So last week we talked about why church matters. And we talked about that, you know, us being the missing piece. But I want to just say this. The church matters. Now you need to get this because I'm going to illustrate it here in a moment. The church matters because Jesus chose it to tell and show the world the message of his love. Jesus decided that, not man. I hear this all the time, like, well, man created church, or here's this one that's real big up here, and I don't need to be going to church. I'm part of the greater global body of Christ. So I'm kind of out there and kind of like a loose cannon, and you know what? Jesus is my pastor. Well, the pastor Jesus said, we belong in the household of God. Can I get an amen? Amen. Did I say that in a life-giving way? So, you know, you had an extra hour of rest last night. Did you know that? You should be like, bam, unless you just ignored it. All right. You should be wide awake. Amen. Now, each person in the church matters because why? Each person, as we shared, is a part of the whole body of Christ. And I want to illustrate this in a moment. Membership, watch this, is not about giving. It's about giving, not about receiving. And there's no strings attached with it. It's the posture and the mindset when we come to a local church is that we are to give of ourselves. Amen? That God has something in each and every one of us that we can do. Now, not all are able to speak and able to communicate, but there are maybe hands, and we'll get in that, and feet and ears and eyes of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. Amen? He is the head. And he's looking for a body. How many know if he just had a head pop up here, that would be kind of weird? The whole body is normal. And that's the picture in how he created. So here's the thing. Biblical church membership is a functioning membership. Did you get that? What do I mean by that? I just think functioning, it's a working, it's an operating. Functioning means to fulfill the purpose or the desire, the vision. And so being a part of a church is something that is active. It's something that's involved. It takes involvement, not just come, warm a seat, and go. Amen. Someone should have smiled and said amen, because you're so rested after last night with all those hours that you had. So, and it's contrasted with, if I may, let me just say this, a country club. How many know what I mean by a country club and a membership? How many of you have membership in some type of a whatever? Whether you work out at a gym or you work at the Y or something. So you pay. And so a country club membership means perks, privileges. Membership means that others will serve me. Isn't that right? I mean, when I walk into Snap, the first thing I grab after I have my fob key that lets me in, right? Because I can't get in unless I have the fob because I pay my membership, amen? So I came in, and then the first thing I grab is a towel. If there's no towels there, where's the towels? I know where the towels are, so I walk back and I grab a pack of the towels and I pull them off and I lay them out there for other people because they're supposed to provide towels. How many hear what I'm saying? Something that's membership, you know, that's the country club, and just pay the going rate and you can have others take care of you while you enjoy a life of leisure. Here's what's sad, tragically, is that many Christians hold to this mindset when it comes to the local church. Let me give you an example. This is my church. You have to play the music the way I like it. Amen, Pastor Mike. It's too loud. It's too soft. It's too fast. It's too slow. It's how many know when you get people together, you can't please everybody? Amen? So somebody, or I've been a member of this church for 12 years, 14 years, 17 years, and so I have the right to get so-and-so or do what I want or whatever. That's the wrong mindset when it comes to a local church. We are all called to serve. Amen? Am I saying that with a smile? I'm being sincere. We're to serve, and we're to serve God because we're doing it to the Lord. You know, one of the things Peter Haas talks about in his book about Broken Escalades, he talks about the Goliath myth. And the Goliath myth is that somehow that Goliath can stop the purposes of David or the children of Israel. How many of you know that he was defeated by a boy in a slingshot, right? So God's trying to tell us, you know what, and we believe this, that unless I get the right connections, unless I have the right opportunities, or if I'm serving and nobody's thanking me, or nobody's saying, come on, amen. And, you know, I did this thing and nobody noticed it. That's the Goliath myth. That's believing that somehow someone can hold back what God has for you and your blessing, and no person can do that. Did you get that? No person can do that. I can't even do that for you. Nothing can hold back God's purpose in your life or blessing. If you believe the Goliath myth, then you're going to be one that's going to want to, you know, it's all, everything that goes wrong is going to affect you. But if you cast it off and say, you know what, God is working on my behalf. That's what happened to Joseph. I've shared that before. Every time the enemy pushed him further and further and further back while he was being obedient. And he was making right choices. He was doing the right thing. And the enemy kept pushing him back to what? Finally, he comes in second in command of the kingdom there in Egypt. God promoted him. So nothing can hold you back. Can you say amen? So biblical church membership is a functioning membership. First, it's the body that's unified, and we're talking about our vision and mission, and it's unified in its purpose and its ministries and activities. And once again, I just want to praise the church here and for doing a tremendous job in the ministries this whole year, and the outreaches that we have done and participated in, and you've just risen to the challenge. What a huge blessing. It's not always like that in many churches, sad to say, but it should be. Every person has a part. Second, the church body, and I want you to get this here, is not only unified, it is made up of many parts. The Bible talks about that. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I want you to think about the parts. And the foot, the Bible talks about, the hand, the ear, the nose, I mean, at least indirectly, maybe the sense of smell when they talk about that. And so when you think about it, that means you think, well, you know what body part I am. Wait, listen, we all play a part. And we have a part in the body, and Jesus is the head. Amen? So the foot, here's the thing. Each of these parts are supposed to function. That makes up the whole body of Christ. How many of you know that if the bass player didn't show up for that Sunday, then we miss the part? If the drummer didn't show up, or the worship leader, what if the pastor didn't show up that day? You know, as I said, you know, I'm just really tired. I saw one pastor, he got up one time, he was using an illustration, and he got up and he goes, you know, I had a real rough week, tired, a lot of pressure. I really didn't have time to prepare, and so I really don't have much anything for you too, so I'm sorry. He went and he sat down. And his message is about preparation, you know. No. So it was riveting. And so how many know we all? So the hand is to grasp and to hold. The eye is to see. The ear is to hear. The nose is to have a sense of smell. And so we who are the church are supposed to function in the church. Can I get an amen? Now, someone wrote this, said that the concept of an inactive church member is an oxymoron. Biblically, no such church member really exists. Now, I'm going to illustrate something here, but this past week I injured my back doing something stupid. And I exercise regularly, and it's one of those dumb things where you just kind of grab something that's not even heavy and eat. How many? Okay, those of you that are over 50, can I have an amen? All right? Come on. All right, maybe even 40. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I was like, what happened? And so you load up on ibuprofen, and man, Rhonda's got this new electrical thing. She stuck it on me and, you know, cranked it up and, you know, I'm like, just going to straighten out that muscle. But here's the thing. With that injured back, that muscle maybe seemed like a small thing. It wasn't my whole body, but it affected me the whole week. It affected me the whole week. Honey, will you help me move this thing? I'm coming. Yeah. I could still function, but not like I wanted to. How many hear what I'm saying? It's just like with the church body. And so You know, let's just say as church, you know, every part, how many know the hands play an important part? Isn't that right? Hands play an important part. And so if you come to the church, hands are those that reach out, right? They hug, they shake hands. That's part of the hands. They welcome, they comfort, they pray. And so just think, if the hands didn't show up on a Sunday morning, we go, hey, welcome to Church for the Harvest. I'm sorry. Elbow, you know, welcome. Hands didn't show up today. Or, you know, if the feet were tied, you know, so you have the hands and you have the feet tied, and so you're just coming in on stumps. And so I just think, we're talking about a functioning body. Every part has a part to play, amen? And so then we're just hopping around. Hey, we're so glad you're here at Harvest. Kind of weird, isn't it, amen? It really is. And we laugh at that, but the truth of the matter, in the realm of the spirit, that's what's happening. You know, I threw this out to a businessman, and just, you know, just talking, and a wonderful brother, and I just said, you know, I don't know for certain, and I don't want to say this as a negative thing against the church in general, but perhaps maybe churches are not entering into their fullness that God has for them because not all the parts are functioning. And we can take that many different ways. And so my mindset, before I was even a pastor, before I was even in the ministry, when I came to a church, it was, how can I help in this place? You know, one church I went into, the church bus blew up, just exploded. And so I told the pastor, said, I know some mechanic stuff. I mean, I'm not the best, but you know, I'll help. And they didn't have the money, and I took the whole engine apart and brought it to machinist, and you know, went through that whole thing. And why? I had one guy in the church. He just passed away, actually, in this other church. And tremendous dear brother. And he needed help with a motorcycle. I said, man, I grew up with motorcycles, dirt bikes, and I know about engines and stuff like that. Let me help you out. And I was working on, I put a tent, because I was living in an apartment and I didn't have a garage. I put a tent outside there, and I worked on the carburetor just to help this guy to get his bike going. How many hear what I'm saying? Amen. It's the church. We are to help each other. We're to be there for each other. Now, how many know that as the church grows, I can't be there for every single certain situation? Amen? But you know what? That's what the church is for. You need each other. You need each other. And so Satan, he divides. He separates. I heard this one minister say this. He said, the church is not something that is optional for Christians. It is not something, watch this now, that will merely enhance our spiritual lives. If you get anything I say today, get this next statement. It is essential to our spiritual lives. Now, you don't believe that. And what happens is they just, you know, the next thing you know, it's weeks, it's months, it's years, and they forget about, and they're not plugged in, and they're just going on with their life and justify things in their mind, and they wonder, and a crisis happens. God, where are you? And he's saying, where were you? Moving right along. So, you know, the New Testament church was birthed out of eyewitnesses. You know, they didn't even have, watch this now, the Bible completely compiled then in the New Testament. They didn't. It wasn't until 300 AD. But they had scripture. Because the Bible says in Corinthians, when Paul says, scripture saith, don't muzzle the ox. So they had the Bible. There's a lot of agnostics and atheists out there saying, how can you believe something for 300 years? And they didn't even have it. No, they had scripture. And they revered the Old Testament at that time. But they began to pen. And these eyewitnesses, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, that wrote about what took place, they believed because something happened. Did you get that? They all went to their death because of an event that took place, the resurrection. That's how powerful it is. And so you could actually say that even though they had the Old Testament and they had some writings right there, what made them just solidify is they said, I knew this guy. He was my friend. He walked with me for 3.5 years. I seen what he did. And I saw him get beat and crucified. And, you know, just think of an atheist showing up right then and coming down to talk and explain them. You know what? This is stupid. The Bible talks about the earth being created in 6 days and nights. I mean, how can you prove the flood? And this guy would go, I don't know anything about that. All I know is this guy, who's my friend that I physically saw, was crucified on a cross. And 3 days later, I saw him again. And I give my life, the rest of my life. And all the disciples were martyred. See, you won't, you know, you may believe a lie your whole life, but you're not going to die for a lie. Isn't that right? You're not. You're going to, wait a minute. The truth is going to come out at the end. And these guys went to the cross. Why? Because they saw something happen. And the Christian faith is built on the Word of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. That's why he can't stomp it out. Yeah, churches may, you know, go through ebbs and flows and seasons. And you have oppression like in North Korea. But I just declare that North Korea is going to open up for the gospel, and we will see churches in there, and it may not be in my lifetime, maybe in your kids' lifetime, but we will send missions teams to North Korea. Some of you go, he's a nut. I don't think it. Listen, I've been to Russia and Ukraine 13 times in 12 years. When I was a kid, when they talked about Russia, the first thing we did was crawl under the table. Isn't that right? Because, you know, nuclear holocaust, Russia's going to bust. And we get under there. I preached in places in Russia and Ukraine where, you know, they built them specifically for the KGB. In those places, I was able to go into public schools and share the gospel and challenge them to their faith. And every kid stood up. I said, sit back down. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. And I do it again, and they all stand. Who would have thought that? And the gospel is moving beyond. And so the gospel is going to go into all the world. Amen. And even in the Middle East, it's coming. The day is coming. Praise God. I don't know how I got on all that, but anyhow, the things that we do together, watch this, as Christians, they aren't extracurricular activities. Amen. They're not optional benefits to be claimed when we find the time. It is essential. Being a part of a local church, I'm convinced of this. Not because of a pastor. This isn't a self-serving statement. Because I believe it, before I was even a pastor, that the church with Christ as the head is the hope of the world. Do you know the things that we have studied today of science was started by Christians? Did you know that? You know, the early Christians were known as atheists to the Roman Empire because they didn't believe the gods. And so they categorized the early Christians as atheists. And they said, you don't believe our gods. And finally, Constantine, 300 years later, he's trying to unite all of Rome. And you know what he does? One word, solidarity. How do I unite all of these people to one faith and language? Okay, the predominant faith at this time is Christianity. And so that's why he united. That means for those 282 years, the Christian faith exploded. Not because of some reasoning and debating, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus loves his church. He started the concept of the church, not man. And so when we worship God corporately, when we pursue godliness, and we live God's word together, what are we doing? We are expressing an integral part of what it means to be his followers. Can you say amen? God built the institution of the church to last. That's why he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. So, you know, the sad thing, Joshua Harris writes in his book, and I'm going to quote some of his stuff right now. He says, you know, some people flirt with the church. You're not committed or passionate about the local church. So what do? They just date the church. I thought that was an interesting concept. What does it mean to date the church? How many remember your wedding day, for those of you that are married? I performed many, many weddings. And, you know, that's a big day. That's a day where your bride, she's dressed up. It's all about her. Isn't that right, man? I mean, it's beautiful. And she just, you know, just looks so awesome. And everything is right. And it's together. And it's like, so we're talking about Christ as the head. And then his bride, we are his bride. So that's the illustration Ephesians talks about. But I want you to just think about how you felt at that time. You see her walking down, you're standing there. You know, as a minister, I come out a side door or I walk right down with the groom and I talk to him like, hey, how you doing? You know, like most of the time, they're all right. And some of them can tell, don't lock your knees because you're going to pass out. It's going to be all right. Let me take a minute and pray for you here. And, you know, some of them are shaking and they don't know what to, hey, it's all good. It's going to be all right. Just look, she got a beautiful woman. She loves the Lord. I mean, and so sometimes I pray, but how wrong would this be for that groom walking with me while his bride is waiting to come in? Now watch this. Then all of a sudden, while he's walking down, he goes, Kayla, look at you in that dress. You look so fine. Call me, maybe. And then he keeps walking down, start looking at other women in the audience. You know, Sophie, OMG, look at you. Oh, man. Hey, I hear you have a potluck next week. I'll show up. Or how about this, Lily, you know, Lily, all grown up, looking all presentable. I'm going to come see you from October to May because I'm real busy in the summer. Woo! That would be really wrong, right, ladies? Come on. I mean, if I heard that, I'm like, get out of here. This, you don't deserve this woman. Well, Christ and his bride, are we dating the church or are we married to him? Amen, Pastor Mike. That's unacceptable. Why? He's committing to his bride. He's committing to his bride. Joshua Harris, in his book, he goes, Why Church Matters, he challenges people to, he says, let's stop dating the church, but instead marry the church. Because Christ, watch what he says. He says that we are to commit ourselves to the local church because it is God's kingdom. There's no other place on earth that is considered God's kingdom. The local bar is not. You know, the rave party is not. Come on. The golf course is not, I'm not, you know, out on the boat. It's not, God's kingdom, the only thing he said that he stands by is local church, the local church. He said that. He goes on to say it is God's kingdom. It is his household and his temple where he dwells. You know, you hear me a lot talk about, Lord, increase your presence. That's my desire. I believe God's presence increases in a church. He can sovereignly move. He can do that. And the Bible talks about times and seasons, but a lot of times is when every body part is doing its place, what it's supposed to be doing, it's functioning, and God rejoices over that, and he loves to show up in that. Amen. You know, there's times that we started in our living room 17 years ago, and we just had a handful of people. We didn't have children's ministry. We didn't have youth ministry. We didn't have a college and career. We didn't even have ushers. We had nothing. Some of you here remember that. It was just had a little basket. You wanted to put money in, and it started to grow. How many of you know that just like a child, God helps that child? But there comes a time we need to grow up. And there comes a time where there's plenty of body parts out there that are not functioning. And so God is continuing to add to this church. And I'm so thankful for that. Almost finished here. We're going to receive communion. How does Jesus see the church? Ephesians 5, 22 and 23, you know, talks about the love between a husband and a wife. Now, I want you to get this. It's true. That's right, and it's good, and it's used at weddings. But these verses also reveal a lot about what Jesus thinks of his church. It tells us, these verses, how much Jesus loves the church. The Bible says he saves the church. What does that mean? He's Savior. He loves the church. He gave himself up for the church. The Bible says he makes her holy. What does that mean? Cleansing her. So when you come and you participate right now, there's even a cleansing coming over your lives. And some of you leave happy, and you don't even know why you're happy. You think, well, I went to church. Yes, God is cleansing. He's purifying. He's helping you. He's making you holy. Wow. So what does that mean? The church is made for people that are unholy. Amen? It's made for people to be cleansed. And it says, he cleanses her that she would be the radiant church without blemish and feeds and cares for the church. Jesus' love for the church is so great, it becomes the standard for a husband and wife to follow. And so it's the standard between that is a picture for us that are married between a husband and a wife. Now I want you to get this. The Bible does not say, watch this, Christ loved the church just like a husband loves a wife. How many know, men, we can be unloving? Yeah? It's the other way around. We learn from Jesus. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:29, husbands, love your wife just as Christ does the church. Come on, say that with me. Say, just as Christ loves the church. Jesus loves the church. He doesn't hate it. He's not indifferent towards it. He established it. That's where he says, I'm going to show up when people make a decision to plug in. Stand with me if you would, please. Jesus loves the church. We should love the church too, because Jesus is the head. He established it, not man. It's God's kingdom. Here's the thing. The longer I'm a Christian, the more aware I become that I cannot live the Christian life on my own. I can't. I need the Lord. I need the fellowship. And this is why I want to encourage you. We conclude. I have an illustration. Maybe ushers can come forward, and we're going to have communion here in a moment. And with the worship team, you can come forward. We need to continue to fight against the status quo. Amen, church? It's pushing on us. And there's, the millennials make up a huge segment in this nation, probably over 80 million. And a majority of them that were involved in a religious background have fallen away, and they've actually categorized them, and those anywhere from 18 to 35 years old, that they're the nuns. In other words, atheism really hasn't appealed to them. They don't want to jump into that ship because, well, who wants to live their life without, you know, knowing there's a purpose behind it? And but I'm just disenfranchised with the church, so I'm a nun. Nothing. That's the tactic of the enemy. That's a work of the enemy to get you disenfranchised with God's purposes for your life. Jesus loves the church. We are to fight for our spiritual growth. We are to fight for our families. Can I get an amen? We are to fight for our marriages. I'm not talking physically, but it just takes a battle. There's a spiritual battle that is warring against your soul and my soul every single day, every single day. The church matters because Jesus, our husband, is married to her. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. You're here this morning, and you say, Pastor, I've never saw it that way, and maybe even wrestling with some of the things that were spoken that maybe you've never heard before. Maybe there's a blockage that you heard some crazy fanatic on some podcast somewhere ranting and raving about Jesus Christ, our Savior, and just spewing out hate. And you think, oh, well, maybe he's right. But you never really dug in and found out what is the truth, the Word of God say about that, and that the Bible can be verified. And so the enemy has used that as a wedge, and it's drawn you away, and you feel like you're in that category of a nun. I don't know, just indifferent. Here's the thing, life will continue on for you. You get older. Someday we have to die and we have to make an account before God. And he's provided salvation for those that will receive it. You say, Pastor, that's me. I need to get my life right with God. I'm feeling the tug. I'm feeling the tug that I need to take the step of faith. Even though I have some doubts, and that's okay. God can handle that. That's you here this morning. I want to pray for you and those of you that may be listening by television. Let's pray corporately. You're not joining this church, but this prayer leads you into joining the family of God. Amen. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me. I give you my life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today in the ministry of God's Word. My prayer today is that you will experience a new revelation of who Christ is in you. Feel free to make as many copies of this message as you like. For more information about Church for the Harvest scheduled ministry times and meeting place, please visit us at churchfortheharvest.com or contact the church office at 320-759-1400. At Church for the Harvest, you belong.